Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, here to the Travis Turner Show. We thank you so much for being with us here on 1340 WNBS, our show streaming live at 1340WNBS.com. We move high speed thanks to our friends at Time Warner Cable. We continue talking baseball with our friend Brad Burns. Mr. Burns, welcome back.
Thanks. I feel better now.
Speedy hiatus during the break.
That's exactly right.
Did you find what you were looking for?
Not totally. So we'll.
You're a complete and utter disappointment.
We'll skip that. I don't know where the file is. So
to the American League we go. You said last week the Indians, currently the best team in Major League Baseball. Have they done anything to change your mind?
No, not really. You look at leading up to the break here. They are 8-2 in their last 10. They've won two in a row after winning 14 in a row, I believe it was. They are leading the American League in run differential. They've scored 407, only given up 318. They are 51-32. Texas is 53-32. So as my son points out, the Rangers also having a good year. The Indians have separated themselves 7.5 games up. Personally, I don't know that anybody has the staff, has the lineup that's going to continue to get better and perform. Level the Indians, I still give them the nod. I think they're the best team right now in the American League.
Hank's pick of Indians and Cubs in a World Series, is it safe?
It looks pretty good. You know, the thing about it is are these teams constructed for postseason play? You know, that's going to be it. If the Cubs add a reliever or two that miss bats, they are very well constructed.
Might the Indians need to do the same?
I think so. I mean,
have enough of that.
You can't have enough guys that throw hard and miss bats in a postseason. I mean, it's just look what the Mets did to the Cubs last year.
What the Royals have done so successfully.
Yes, the Royals construct a bullpen. You know, the antidote to the guys that throw hard are the guys that hit people that throw hard. That's what the Royals were able to do to the Mets last year. They were the best team on 95-plus fastballs. But, I mean, you know, the Indians have guys in their rotation that throw hard that are going to miss bats and strike out some guys. The Cubs obviously have two guys in Lester and Arrieta that do that. They have guys that are going to hit home runs, which is what you need in the postseason. You know, now the Royals last year proved that if you just keep putting the ball in play, you got a good shot at it too.
Who is the best of those Indian starting pitchers?
Maybe Salazar. He's electric, man. You know? I don't like how Kluber is an injury guy to me waiting to happen. Salazar, he may have the best stuff. What do you think? You like Salazar? How about Trevor Bauer? What do you think?
I'm holding something loaded on you right now on Salazar. What is it? What am I thinking about your rationale for why Salazar is the best?
Oh goodness, what do you got for me?
Aren't you basing that on 3 months?
Well, maybe so. Touche, I'll give you that. But hey, listen, we're talking about who's the best team right now.
Well,
hey,
and the thing about this kid is we've known he had the electrifying stuff since he came to the big leagues.
Exactly. We talked about him, 2 years ago in a preview?
Yes,
breakout,
you know,
potential.
And he really has begun, it seems, to figure that out. Now, the walk rate can still be an issue for him.
That's a postseason bugaboo right there, too, because you could have a real short outing real quick and then give up a dinger and you're in trouble.
He's been phenomenal. In fact, many have said that, you know, this guy should be on your short list right now for first half American League Cy Young Award winner.
Absolutely.
Kluber's a guy who, again, he fools you because his earned run average has not been spectacular, but many of his peripherals, real good.
His whip right now is, we're talking about Kluber, 1.044.
Hey, now.
Yeah. He ain't walking anybody. He ain't going up a ton of hits. His strikeouts per nine is 9. He strikes out a guy in an inning. You're doing yourself some favors there. His walks per nine is 2.1. Salazar, by comparison, is 10.3 on the strikeouts and 4.0 on the walks. His ERA is 2.36 compared to Kluber at 3.79. So, I don't have batting average on balls in play pulled up. There's some little bit of unlucky stuff that's playing into Kluber's ERA at 3.79. Listen, Josh Tomlin's having a good year as far as ERA is concerned. His whip is 1.091. I mean, you look at the Indians' starting rotation, they don't have a guy with a whip over 1.1.
That's outstanding. Really good. I mean,
that means you're just preventing base runners.
Yeah.
You know, and so they've got a great defender at shortstop. You know,
and I'm telling you, the thing about this club is if you go back and track them record-wise from the time that he came up last year,
oh, yeah, they're great.
They have been as good as anybody in the game.
Well, he changed the whole face of their team. If any one guy can do it, he did it. Most organizations, this isn't going to happen, but they were so bad defensively, needed help there, and they were going to, you know, struggle offensively. He's done both. He's a great player.
I like what we're seeing. And, of course, who knows if it'll continue or not, but Lonnie Chisenhall remade now as an outfielder.
Yep.
And a
Alex
guy
Gordon, man.
Swinging the bat well.
Alex Gordon.
Yeah.
Third base wasn't going to be for him. Put him in the outfield. He relaxes a little bit. Doesn't have to work as much on defense.
And what he's been able to do has really helped offset the Michael Brantley absence.
311, 362, 485. Doing pretty well. Lindor, by the way, is 299, 356, 450. You're getting that out of your shortstop and playing elite defense, take you.
Got to ask the question because we asked it at the start of the year. Is he better than Correa?
That's a good question. Correa, to me, eventually is going to get moved off shortstop. So as far as shortstops go, Lindor is probably a little better. Yeah.
But, I mean, is he better now?
Well, he's definitely having a better year. Yeah. Hank's nodding his head. Hank likes Lindor a little bit better. Yeah, I'd have to look up Correa's numbers just to by comparison. But Lindor's having a better year. I think, Lindor's the better shortstop. And
because that was the deal, was the kid going to hit.
Exactly.
I think people knew that he was going to be a great shortstop.
He's
been a very good offensive player.
He has. And switch hitter, too. I mean, I love switch hitters. I just, you know, to me, it's impressive.
Is there an area that worries you about the Indians that is not for real when you look at them?
I think bullpen looks worrisome to me when you've got guys, and this is the double-edged sword with guys that strike out a lot of guys. Right now, Cody Allen, ERA plus a 155. Okay. Doing fine. 10.9 strikeouts per nine innings. Dan Otero, 8.5. Brian Shaw, 9.6. Zach McAllister, 9.6. Jabba Chamberlain on the 40-man roster, but has thrown in limited innings, 8.1.
I believe they asked him to step away from the big
true.
League roster.
Right. Yes. So they've got guys who have done that. The problem comes in when you look at their walk rate.
Yep.
4.9 for Allen. Only 1.9 for Otero. Okay, he's fine. 3.6 for Shaw. 4.8 for McAllister. 4.1 for Jeff Manship, who only strikes out six guys per nine. You can't get away with that long term. That's the problem.
The interesting thing about them is where a team like the Cubs and maybe some others, maybe the Giants, you know, there are clubs who maybe could position themselves for a run at a Miller or a Chapman. The Nationals might do that. The Indians are probably going to have to shop in the bargain aisle for their bullpen help, I suspect.
I think so. You know, the Indians, they don't need to give away a bunch of stuff right now in order to just be okay this year.
You know what's interesting about the Indians, though? The only people who know about the Indians are us. Nobody's watching them.
No. Yeah.
Been last in attendance in Major League Baseball.
Crazy.
Remember in the days when that place was Jacobs Field?
Oh, man. Yes.
And it was rocking.
Albert Bell and his crew.
Rocking.
Yeah. Hank and I were talking about the other day that the two teams they had in 95 and 97 were ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
I mean, they were. In 95, they won 144. You know, they're good. The fielding independent pitching numbers bother me on some of the guys that are getting a lot of action there in the bullpen.
But I'm going to tell you, here's the thing on Cleveland that reassures me, even in the face of some of the concerns you've raised, is I think they're clearly at this point better than everybody else in that division.
No, they're going to win that division because they're just better. I mean, I don't think Detroit. I mean, Detroit. Seriously, those guys are older than you and me. I mean, seriously, you know.
We went to high school.
Yeah, I remember those guys. You know, see them at the reunion in the fall. I mean, you know, they're old. They're going to. I mean, you know, the Royals. What I mean, are they that good? I mean, the Royals could make the postseason and win the World Series again. It could happen.
Yeah.
But I ain't seeing it.
No,
I'm not putting any money on it.
3 weeks ago, I took them with Houston as one of my wild card teams. I'd like to have that back.
Well, I mean, this is what changes over the course of a season. That's why it's interesting to look and see, okay, who starts to play better,
now,
who has injuries, and so on.
They're saying out of Kansas City that Wade Davis's forearm tightness ain't going to be nothing much. They lying?
Is forearm tightness ever a good thing for a pitcher?
No.
Does the MRI
forearm
reveal
tightness and shoulder fatigue?
Yeah. Those things are.
Dr. Andrews on line one.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, those are okay. Just put me on the shelf from now to the end of the season. I mean, that's you hear if you ever see pitcher has reported or he's being evaluated for forearm tightness or or shoulder fatigue, that means he's either having surgery on his elbow or surgery on his shoulder. The elbow surgery would be less of a concern only because guys typically come back for that. The shoulder surgery would be he's coming back and he's going to throw 10 miles an hour less and reinvent himself as a left-handed specialist even though he was a right-handed fireballer.
By the way, the sneaky enjoyment of this show for me is I've been waiting to catch Hank with his mouth full of crackers and then throw him a microphone this morning.
Yeah,
guy's gone through a pack over there during the show here.
That's right.
But, we had been talking about the Royals and foretelling doom with their starting rotation for years. I think it's here. I don't see good things afoot for them in the second half.
They have been good enough up until this point.
Yeah.
And, unfortunately
– a lot of other injuries with the lineup, too. Yeah. I mean, they've just – not a whole club and maybe just an empty tank.
Well, and they – I mean, were they the best team in the big leagues last year? Apparently so. And did they have to all perform well for that to happen? Yeah. And that's okay. That doesn't mean that – it doesn't take anything away from what they've done the last 2 years. It just means they've had injuries. They're not as whole as they once were, and it's showing.
You believe that in the West that the Rangers may be standing on a trap door? It's been a great season for them to date.
Yep.
But the Astros are coming. The footsteps getting a little louder. Rangers still have a good, comfortable lead
there.
Seven and
a half games.
But the Astros really been carrying some momentum.
If I were the Rangers, I would not feel comfortable. That lead would feel about half right now and shrinking daily is what I would feel. I would feel as if the Astros look like they're continuing to get better. And we're pretty good, but we're not able to get as better as they are able to get better. I don't know if that makes sense, but I just look at the Astros as they're the team that's going to continue to plod along. They're going to get better. They don't have to make a lot of moves. To me, the Rangers, what do you do with Prince Fielder? I mean, what do you do with that guy? What if Ian Desmond does not continue to put up career numbers?
Right.
I mean, what if he doesn't? What if he has just a typical Ian Desmond second half, low on base, high slugging? Okay, he's going to be all right. But, I'm not real, real confident in the Rangers. Now, they've got a 7.5-game lead, so it's not as if, we're talking a one-game lead going to the All-Star break, and, who knows. You know what? They should feel pretty good about where they are. They've played well, and the first half of the season matters. And the first month and a half that the Astros had matters.
Yep.
They were terrible. But they're also – you look since then at what they've done, and they are outpacing everybody as far as record goes. They're really good.
Of course, at this point, you would – in terms of playoff odds, you'd still feel pretty good about both being playoff clubs at this point.
Speaking of playoff odds, just to pull that up real quick, when it comes to American League playoff odds, we talked about Cleveland. Right now they're a 97.8% lock to make the playoffs. Makes sense to me. Rangers are at 90.8 with the Astros at 50.6. Those numbers to me are too far apart. Does that mean that I think the Rangers should come back down? No, I think the Astros should go up. I think the Astros look to me like a playoff team. The West and the Central are different. The Indians, as you mentioned, I think clearly the best team. I don't think clearly any team is the clearly best team in the West. I think the Astros are the best, but not clearly and far and away better.
The American League East has the potential to be fascinating.
It's going to be fun to watch. What's interesting right now is Baseball Prospectus gives the greatest playoff odds not to the Orioles and not to the Red Sox, but to the Toronto Blue Jays.
Right now, I wouldn't disagree with that
either. Yeah. I mean, I've never been a big believer in Baltimore. They're a solid club. Buck Showalter is a great manager. I don't think he's going to do anything stupid to mess them up. But talent-wise, I'm not as confident in them. Could Toronto just absolutely slug their way to it? Sure, it's possible. Right now, 63.4%, 55% for the Red Sox, 47% for the Orioles. Toronto on top as far as projections go. With 63, but they only project them right now to win 87 games total. I mean, we're talking a division that's packed together, no great team in it. Any one of three teams could win that, but will the win totals be enough to get more than one team out of that division into the playoffs? I think you get two because I think two come out of the West probably. I think one comes out of the Central, two out of the East. there's where you go. But one of those three, Toronto, Boston, or Baltimore, probably not making the playoffs.
The Yankees, how wise would they be to go ahead and set the market right now with the bullpen pieces?
Oh, I would get rid of those guys as quickly as I could before they get hurt. I mean, you just everybody loves guys that throw hard, but nobody loves a guy who throws hard and sitting down because he's
this is crazy to think about, because typically this wouldn't happen. Although we've seen it happen, I think the Orioles back when they got Andrew Miller, they got him from the Red Sox.
Yeah.
But if you're the Yankees, I mean, we've heard Chapman connected to the Nationals. We've heard the Cubs express interest in multiple relievers. At least that's, you know, the under the wire talk.
Yep.
The Giants apparently have been, you know, in conversation about Andrew Miller. But wouldn't you be able to create the greatest marketplace if you turned and called those three teams in the American League East?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would. I'd deal one to each of them and get two prospects back from each club. Why not?
I mean, if you're Buck Showalter, you put one of those guys with Britton and Brock in the back of your bullpen.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about that. Yeah.
And, you know,
the Yankees are not going to be counting on any of those three the next time the Yankees are great.
Right. Well, there's no reason to. We've always talked about it with short relievers. Back end guys that are closing out victories. If you're not having a lot of victories,
yeah.
You don't need them.
Roldis Chapman pitched for the Reds last year. They're terrible. I mean, why do you need that guy?
Yeah.
Unless you're going to start him. So, no, I don't see any reason why the Yankees shouldn't fold the tent and say, we're selling everybody, Carlos Beltran and everybody.
Yep.
Get rid of them all. You know, anybody that you want to take, anybody that doesn't have a no-trade, you know, clause that, you know, would block a trade, let's get rid of them. Because, again, you know, the Yankees are – they're going to be sneaky in a couple of years because they've got some good young players in their farm system. And they're going to be in position because they – you know, we've talked about it. They've not gone out in the last 3 or 4 years and spent stupid money.
Yeah.
Now, 3 or 4 years ago, they did. Brian McCann and Jacoby Ellsbury and, you know, guys like, I mean, what are we doing? You know, I mean, how dumb do they look now? But they haven't done that. So those guys will roll off at some point.
Yeah.
Teixeira, A-Rod, these guys will no longer be on their payroll at some point. And that's when they will combine their young farm system talent right now, who will be ready in 2 years, with a major trade and or signing, like you and I have talked about. They could have an outfield. I believe Aaron Judge is an outfielder. They could have an outfielder of Judge, Trout, Harper, or Judge, Harper, and somebody else.
Yep.
They're going to sign Bryce Harper. They will sign Bryce Harper. And they'll break the bank to do it. Is he worth it? I don't know. But they're going to sign him.
Yeah, he will be there.
Yeah,
I guarantee.
They're going to hope he hits 75 home runs over that 314 sign in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, that's,
well, and he may hit 40 of them over the building.
He might, yes. They may be constructing a new one.
Plus, who Harper is in New York is Reggie Jackson.
There's no question.
I mean, he'll be worth it beyond whatever. I mean, what he does on the field in terms of numbers won't even touch what he'll be worth to that franchise to be there.
And how much money will he himself make off the field?
And if he's hitting the 50, 60 homers, absolutely. He'll be the bank.
Yes.
At that point.
He will be what A-Rod dreamed of being.
Yeah.
Which is New York personified.
Because look, the deal is to be great in New York, you don't just have to be great, but you've got to be able to be great off the field.
Yeah.
That's one of the great things about Jeter. Now, Jeter didn't do it by being Jackson-esque.
No.
But he was great with everybody. A-Rod's always been the fumbling, stumbling, mumbling goob.
Yes.
He just couldn't get it done with people.
It.
Hey, trying too hard, fella.
Yeah.
Go whiten your teeth a little more,
yeah,
huh?
Seriously. I mean, and Harper is the guy who is Jeter and anti-Jeter all at the same time. You know, he's Jeter in the sense that he's going to be great as far as his performance. Yankee fans are going to love him on the field. And he's Jeter, and he's anti-Jeter in the sense that he's going to let you know about it.
Oh, well,
any chance he gets.
If I'm
Reggie
Harper,
Jackson.
The first thing I'm doing is I'm bringing Reggie to my press conference when I sign, and I'm the new straw.
He's putting the jersey
that stirs
on.
I mean, you're asking him if you can wear 44.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what you're doing.
Yeah. You give him 10% of your next endorsement
deal.
Yeah. Yeah. You start a 44 brand,
and then you're punching your manager right in the face.
Yeah.
To get it started.
Drop the mic and walk off.
That's what's missing with the Yankees, by the way.
They don't have Billy Martin and Reggie Jackson fighting in the dugout.
There's no heel. There's no villain.
Now, listen, the Yankees.
They went soft.
They have no identity.
That's right.
They have
soft.
What do we know about the Yankees? You either love them because everybody hates them, or you hate them because they're great and you just want to hate them.
Yeah, the one bad byproduct of the Tory era is they became too likable.
Oh, yeah. I love Joe Tory.
Jeter, too nice.
I love Jeter.
Too nice.
Rivera? Oh, man. Good
they
guys.
They need to go back to straight black.
Yes. Just
Navy here with the Yankees.
No.
We're the black hats.
Yes. That's By the way, speaking of Harper and his quest.
He's got to grow a handlebar mustache, too.
Be perfect. Some shagginess.
I'm tired of the hair, though. I'm going to tell you what. I've had it with the hair with Harper.
I'm not a fan of pretty boys.
I've had it with the hair.
And
that's ridiculous.
Harper says he wants to make.
It's like there's a freaking woodland animal on his head.
I believe there is. Yes. Yes, it is. It's like a squirrelish thing.
Three large teammates and some shears, and we're going to take care of that.
Yeah. Papelbon gets to do the shearing. Actually, he holds him by the throat while somebody else does it. Harper says he wants to make baseball fun again. And yet he says, I don't want to participate in the home run derby.
Boo.
He says, I don't really like it. I'd rather just sit. You want to make it fun. Listen, here's what Harper's scared to lose the home run derby. We'll call him out right now. He's scared to lose the home run derby. He's scared he's going to go out there and he's going to hit grounders to the shortstop. And, you know, if you want to make baseball fun again, then get out there and have some fun and see how many you can hit.
Yeah, hit some bombs.
Yeah. So all you're worried about is if you can show up a pitcher, that's how baseball is fun, get out. He needs to play for the Yankees. You know why? Because I hate the Yankees. He needs to play for the Yankees.
Who's winning the East, by the way?
I'll go with Boston still. No, I don't have a compelling reason based upon the other teams to not still stay with Boston.
Got to have some starting pitching, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. I think they can go out and get it.
But what if Price gets hot?
Well, Price is great. I mean, what I look at in some of these teams, it's
they got to have another guy though.
There's no question.
More piece. They have to.
Who has the potential to make themselves better? The Red Sox do. Does Toronto?
By the way, what would you deal a package of your top young guys to the Yankees for that for a couple of bullpen pieces? Would you do it?
Oh no, not if you're in Boston. Are you kidding me? No way, you can't do it. I'm already beating you. No, I'm not gonna let you beat me in 3 years because I'm desperate. No, no, can't do it. No, no, man, I can't stand the Yankees.
If you're the Cardinals, do you call and offer Wainwright and Waka for some prospects?
I would.
Would you? Yeah.
Absolutely would.
The Red Sox should put a no-trade clause in everybody on their team so they can't be traded to the Yankees. Like, no-trade clause only to the Yankees, everybody.
Now, the Red Sox, they get to make that decision on who they want to trade with. But, to give up, and maybe it's in the division that changes a little bit, but to give up a couple really good, nearly major league ready pieces for a reliever, does that help you right now? Yes, but man, there's a fine line between it helps us right now. But boy, Aroldis Chapman's a free agent at the end of the year. We're not going to re-sign him, And given the Red Sox situation, they need starters more than they need relievers. So, totally different story, for me with that. But I not because I love the Red Sox, but just because they're 45-38 right now. Yeah, they're okay. They're not great, but I think they will get better, whereas these other teams, to me, I look at them as they're going to stay about the same. If the Red Sox can make a move or two to get better, maybe they eclipse them by the end of the year.
Poppy Magic carries the Red Sox to the East title. Hank, what do you got? Who wins the East?
Toronto, Baltimore,
Red Sox.
Or Red Sox? You're going Boston. He's a pawpaw fan.
There's no way that the Red Sox can't win.
You think so? They're not in first place right now.
David Ortiz is going to hit like 90 home runs, the second half of the season, and they're going to just.
Red Sox are three games out. They're in third place right now. They are 4-6 in their last 10. Toronto's won four in a row, 2.5 games out. I guess for me, I'm just not buying that any of these teams are great, and I'm going to look at who do I think is going to make the move to make themselves better. And right now I think that's Boston. Whether they will or not is a totally different story. Baltimore has played well all year. They've been very consistent, and they're good. But I still like Boston just a tad more.
Consensus, Red Sox rally to win the East here in the studio.
We
got it. Gentlemen, I got to get us to a quick break and then wrap things up here. But a fantastic 2 hours as always. Hank Burns, Brad Burns, gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Yep.
All right, folks, we'll get you to our last break of the day. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up here on 1340 WNBS.